Welcome to Fit Food Junkies, addicted to health.
My name is Emily E., and I'm a certified group fitness instructor and personal trainer.
Let's start on our health and fitness journey together.
Today we have on Dr. Lena. She is a board certified naturopathic doctor and licensed acupuncturist. While she was studying in school to become a naturopathic doctor, she simultaneously earned her master's of science in acupuncture. It is by using naturopathic medicine and Chinese medicine that she is able to help guide others to achieve their optimal health, correct their internal dysfunctions, alleviate pain, lose weight, and ultimately feel better and look better in the process. Working closely with each patient, Dr. Lena dives deep into underlying and often overlooked aspects of our lives and bodies to uncover the root causes of health and wellness issues. I am so excited to interview Dr. Lena.
Hi, I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for virtually being here. I got into acupuncture about a year ago when I took a traditional Eastern medicine class at USC, and I was all of a sudden just mind blown. I mean, I you know, you always hear about Eastern medicine and you don't know if you believe it, traditional Chinese medicine. And once you learn about it, the ins and outs, you realize how real it is. And then after taking the class, I go, okay, I got to try this. And after going to acupuncture, I felt like a different person. It is not this whole voodoo thing. Like I feel the benefits. My chronic hip pain is gone. I actually go every week for different issues that have helped me immensely, mentally, physically, pain, anything in life. It is just incredible. I have no words. So I'm so excited to talk to Dr. Lena today about everything. So tell us what you do.
Thank you so much. That was so sweet. I love your energy. So there's a couple things. So as a naturopathic doctor, what I like to do is really dive into a patient's total health history. Oftentimes patients come with a plethora of issues that nobody's been able to figure out. They've just been told that they were normal or okay, or that it was stress, or it's all in their head. And that's no way to live and no way to leave an office. You know, it's a very personal thing when you're not feeling well. And so what I like to do is really dive into a patient's lifestyle. That's diet, exercise, stress, sleep, hydration, which people forget about all the time. And work, travel schedule, and then of course, recovery days or lack thereof, or what is your definition of recovery? So through going through all of that, I like to make specific recommendations, whether it's nutritional, supplementation, or lifestyle, and then try and get the patients off of their pharmaceuticals in a slow, controlled manner, of course, so that their body can take over, so their body can basically take over and get back to homeostasis, if you will. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there's that portion, mm-hmm. Which is the naturopathic. And the two things I like to focus on the most are endocrinology. So that's hormones, whether it's cortisol, like adrenal fatigue, thyroid, like hypothyroidism, or like just regular sex hormones. Like if you're having problems with PCOS or PMS, fertility, or, you know, perimenopausal. On the other side, I, as an acupuncturist, I absolutely love bringing that side of me into my practice. To combine Eastern and Western, I just think gives you such a grip on how to really see a patient from all angles. And the best thing about acupuncture, especially after a lockdown, is that it's just human touch. And nobody gets that, especially in New York. People are like rushing around. They hate when they get bumped. And so if you go into a room and it's calm and it's zen and it's like lit well and has the salt lamps and the peaceful music and the plants, and then somebody actually looks at you and like touches your shoulder or like spends a moment with you, I think that's an incredibly healing benefit in and of itself. Plus it just can help with so many different things.
It's so true. When I get acupuncture, it's almost like, I feel like I'm meditating, and it's weird. You feel this intense mind-body connection if you really get into it. It's really a cool experience. And what I've also loved is that you have both sides to it, with the Eastern and medicine side, which I think is really important, because I think a lot of times, I mean, before taking this traditional Eastern medicine class, I didn't even know about Eastern medicine. You just think about Western medicine. And what I think is the dichotomy between the two is that the Western medicine focuses on treatment, right? And then Eastern medicine, they're going to focus on prevention, which I think is the most powerful tool, because instead of just treating it with medicines, which of course many times you do need, but how about looking at the alternative and thinking, okay, how can we prevent this from happening again? Also, my major was health promotion and disease prevention. So I'm just fascinated by all of this.
That's amazing. And not only that, but like, how do I not have this happen again? But how the heck did I get here?
Right, right.
Yeah. And there's what I tell patients all the time is you did not get here overnight, and it's going to take more than one night to get better. Patience is absolutely key. Patience and communication when I'm working with people, because it does take time to get better naturally. A pill can get you feeling better in a week or a day, you know, or a month. Natural medicine, rebalancing your body and your biochemistry, that takes time. But it's what's natural. And it was way before pharmaceuticals.
Right.
So why not just go back to what our body really desires and craves?
100%. And can you explain what acupuncture is if anyone doesn't know what it is?
Ooh, okay. So acupuncture is it's basically a modality, a treatment modality that can be used for a plethora of symptoms and conditions. What you're basically doing is you're putting very fine, thin needles in the body along specific energetic meridians or channels. So there's multiple channels in the body. They're all corresponding to specific organs, which I think is really cool. And what a channel does is it allows for the free flow of energy to go throughout your body each and every day. There's even a specific number of times that chi is supposed to circulate throughout all 12 meridians.
And what is chi?
Chi is energy. It is your innate vitality. It is your life force. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that intangible thing that we as Americans, unfortunately, were not brought up or taught to really think about.
Because you can think of what a meridian is, and you're, you know, it's connecting each organ across your body. But is this, when you say meridian, does that just mean it's the chi, the energy flow?
Really, really. Oh my gosh, I love your question. So, and a meridian, think of it like a highway, right? So you have like LA, right? There's a millions of highways,
right.
Millions of cars on it. And you want these highways to be flowing properly. If there's an accident and there's a huge car pileup and then all the traffic that goes back like for a mile, especially out there, that would be stuck chi or energy. So when something is stuck and things aren't free flowing, you get pain, you get aggravation, you get irritable, or there could be a disruption along that specific organ related to that channel. So yeah, chi is like a meridian's like a highway, and chi is like the car flowing through it.
And that's where acupuncture comes in. I love that analogy. If there's traffic or if there's an accident, right? That's where acupuncture comes in.
Yes, exactly. So like, for example, let's say you're having a really painful cramps, right? Like before your cycle. And so your lower pelvis is in a lot of pain. What pain is in Chinese medicine is they call that stagnation. Again, think of that accident or that car pileup. So if you're having all this pain or stagnation, there could be an excess above and a deficiency below the actual area. And so what that acupuncture is doing is that's allowing that blockage to open up and even out both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I had, I had chronic inflammation in my hip, so painful, and I would run and I have to stop. And then it got to a point where I had to stop walking. It was just staggering pain. I can't even tell you. And I was an idiot even when I had the pain. I was like, I'm going to run a half marathon, and that made it worse. So, you know, who knew that was going to happen? But anyway, I remember it was happening while I was taking this class, and I go, okay, I'm going to acupuncture. That's it. I've tried everything I possibly could, right? And they put the electromagnetic, so they connected with the needle in my hip to the machine, and the electromagnetic waves What's that machine called? It's the
E-stim machine.
The what?
Quick stimulation, E-stim.
Yes. So I felt these stimulations in my hip. It was the weirdest thing, but you feel a wave, and you feel all of a sudden all the blood flow going into an area that you've never felt blood flow in because it's been so stagnant. The pain has been so sharp. And I went about 4 or 5 times and maybe even more, but it was gone. And I was just mind blown. And I think a lot of people who go to acupuncture don't believe in it because they don't give it enough tries. I think at first I was also a little frustrated too. And a lot of people say, oh, it doesn't work. They've gone once, they've gone twice. Mm-hmm. I've gone for other reasons where I'm still going through it. And I've been going every week for the past couple of months. But I've seen it continuously getting better. And I think that's what it's about, because people sometimes don't have the patience and just want to find the cure right away, want to take out the pain right away. And it takes time for your body to get there. And I think a lot of people don't understand that, and they don't believe in it right away.
That was okay. At the very beginning of what you started to say, every word you said makes perfect sense, especially like from a trained professional. So you said stagnation, you said sharp pain, you said blood flow. All of that. So stagnant blood or stagnant chi is sharp shooting pain. It is stagnation. It is pain. And when they did that E-stim machine, there's two ways to look at it. Like you said, you explained like the Chinese medicine side. For the listeners who don't understand that yet, what is happening is if you create an electric stimulation on a muscle, what's happening is the muscle, it contracts. It's already contracted, right? Mm-hmm. And it's trying to protect you and trying to protect your body, which mm-hmm. is why the blood flow can't go through. Mm-hmm. When you stimulate it with a needle, mm-hmm. what you're doing is your body is creating a compensatory contraction and then a relaxation afterwards, allowing the blood flow to actually go through. So that's like the Western side, if you want to explain it that way, with the calcium channels and all that. But yes, it takes time. Your body it's complicated.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be. But you have to be patient with yourself, with your body, with your mind. It's like somebody taking magnesium twice and then saying nutrients aren't real.
Right.
You know, that's not true.
Definitely. All the meridians are connecting each organ. And I know each organ has a symbol or an emotion behind it. So let's go into that. And I'm just so interested by it, because it's so funny when I go to acupuncture, I'm always asking the doctor, I'm like, okay, what is this doing? What is this? Like, I'm so interested. I want to know everything. And I remember one time my acupuncturist was putting a needle in by my shin, and it's like, this is impacting, I don't know, remember what organ it was, but it's just crazy how it's all interconnected. So tell us about some of the different organs and their significance.
So each meridian is associated with an organ. Mm-hmm. So let's do the liver channel. So the liver channel, it starts on the toe, mm-hmm. and it ends in your core, like in your thoracic cavity area. Mm-hmm. Every meridian will start either at your extremity and end at the core, or start at your core and end at an extremity. And that's why the free flow of chi, it stops at one and then bounces to the next channel. So the liver is associated with the color green. When you think about it, think of bile, right? Mm-hmm. So there's always a yin and a yang organ connected. So it's liver and gallbladder, mm-hmm. associated with the color green. It's associated with the taste of sour. Mm-hmm. It is associated with anger. So think about that. When you're really angry, your eyes can get red, or let's say you're hungover, your eyes get more red because the liver is connected to the eyes. Mm. And it also, the meridian wraps around the genitals. So let's say you're having issues with like painful periods again. Mm-hmm. You can needle certain things along the liver meridian to help open up those blockages in your pelvic area. Mm. Because liver 5, which is at the bottom of your shin, kind of almost your ankle, shin bone, if you want to call it that, can help to release that. So the liver is one of my favorite channels.
And when you say green, does that mean that if I eat an apple or spinach, it's going to affect my liver?
That's such a good question. So not necessarily that, but like foods that have to do with like a more bitter taste, like that sour bitter, that will help mm-hmm. the liver.
Mm-hmm. So what is the color?
Chinese nutrition or Oriental medicine nutrition as well.
So what does the color signify?
To be honest, I'm not sure other than bile.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There's another one that I love, the spleen. The spleen is one of my favorites because students get this thing called spleen qi deficiency. Mm-hmm. Spleen is associated with worry. It's associated with kind of anxiety a bit, overthinking. Imagine that, especially as a student. So spleen is responsible for transforming and transporting all fluids in your body. The spleen is associated with the stomach. So those two are a pair. And their color is yellow. I believe it's Indian summer or late summer is what that.
I remember learning that.
Is. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if that's the correct term anymore, but that's what we learned in school. And then it's funny because the spleen opens up to the tongue and the mouth. And so oftentimes I'll have, you know, post grads just fresh out of school come to me. And when I'm taking their tongue diagnosis, they have these scallops on the sides, these scalloped edges along the side of their tongue. And their tongue is like full of, it's like thicker mm-hmm. and puffy. That's because their spleen is not transforming and transporting fluids properly.
Mm-hmm. And just to interrupt you for a second. So that, what I thought was insane is that when you go to acupuncture, they're going to first look at your tongue and also, isn't it your radiant pulse, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting because just by feeling your pulse and by seeing the color and the texture of your tongue, you can make so much based on the internal, your internal body.
Oh yeah. It's wild. I remember learning all about that and thinking, oh gosh, this is okay. We're getting out there.
You think someone's reading your mind. You're like, what? Yeah. You know I'm going through this.
Oh, it's incredible. And it's not like looking at a palm and being like, oh, you have a family. You know what I mean? It's like really getting into it.
Oh, like, it's like, oh, you have hypothyroidism, you have dry skin, you have that, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. You have digestive issues that are located in the lower jaw, which is like the lower part of your intestines by looking at the coating on the back of the tongue. Like it's the craziest thing, but it works every time.
I remember I went and it's like, yeah, you didn't get much sleep last night, did you? I'm like, how did you know? I pulled an all-nighter, but like, I didn't seem like I did. And he's like, I could tell by your pulse and the texture of your tongue. You can tell whatever else he was noticing and low blood pressure. It was just, I was like, yo, you are reading my mind. Who are you?
I love it. I love it.
So we have the liver down, the spleen.
The one that I have that I work on a lot is urinary bladder. Mm. So that one is located on your back. So either side of your spine. And this one has the most points on the body. So mm-hmm. there are 67 total. Mm-hmm. Let's say the heart only has 9. The urinary bladder has 67. So it just varies. So the urinary bladder starts in the eye by the eyeball mm-hmm. and it goes on either side of your head, just mm-hmm. like kind of crossing the median of your skull, down the base of your neck, all the way on either side of your vertebrae, all the way down the back of your legs, right in the middle at your baby toe or your pinky toe. And that one is incredible because you can actually hit all the organs on the urinary bladder channel. Mm-hmm. So some patients just want to come in and they're like, I just want to conk out and sleep on my stomach for an hour. I'm like, of course, don't we all? I'll help you. Right. So I can address something with the heart by doing the heart shoe points on the bladder channel. The shoe points, basically what those mean is those are like the opening to the different meridians along the, it's kind of like a team captain that goes out and represents the meridian, but they're all just on the bladder channel. So you can do all sorts of stress relieving stuff on the urinary bladder channel. You can hit any of the other meridians. And it's just really nice to have those muscles, those intricate muscles along the vertebrae, like the multifidus and all those other things that you don't really get to get those loosened up. It just feels awesome. The other two are heart and then pericardium. Heart is associated with red. It's also associated with anxiety, joy, or almost like a nervous joy. Mm-hmm. You have like heart chi excess. That is like when you kind of have that inappropriate laughter, you know, you're just kind of like, ha ha ha, all the time. And of course it has to do with heartbreak and all that other stuff too. Heart and small intestine are connected, and the heart is, it starts in the chest and then it ends on the pinky finger, right? Mm-hmm. I absolutely love this, and it goes down your arm. I like this channel a lot. I don't use it a ton except for like in emotional stuff or when somebody is, when you're face up, obviously I'll use it. You could also just kind of clear excess heat, whether you're just like upset about something or there's any sort of love issue going on, which I know I'll be seeing a ton of post COVID when I go back to the office. So I'm excited.
Seriously.
So I love that one. And then the pericardium, I think, is probably like the sweetest meridian, if you can call meridian sweet. But what I like about that is the pericardium in like Western medicine, that basically encompasses your heart muscle, like your heart muscle. So it's like the protector of your heart. And I love this one. Mm-hmm. If you do 3 finger breaths down from your wrist crease in the middle here and between your 2 tendons, that is pericardium 6. And that's one of the most calming points in your body. You can feel your pulse if you press hard enough, but it's great because it's used for like a multitude of things. It calms your shin, which is your spirit, your heart. It balances you. And then on top of that, it also is really good with nausea. So whether it's morning sickness during pregnancy, whether it's motion sickness, like you're on a cruise and you get those little bracelets for motion sickness, that's actually pressing on pericardium 6 and acupressure point. And it's really good for digestion as well. So that's like a big hitter for me. I use that one a lot.
So are you saying that if we don't go to acupuncture, let's say, and we have whatever pain we're going through, that you can, like a migraine, like what you're saying, you can actually yourself just kind of press those pressure points?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's a little bit less effective than a needle being there.
Of course, of course.
But I have been, I've been teaching all my patients on my telehealth calls, you know, during quarantine, like this is what you can do since I'm not able to see you.
Right.
It's been so beneficial. I used to think it was silly and they're loving it.
And you were even saying for cramps, what was that point? You were pressing a specific point that would help with cramps.
We have headache.
So headache is in between.
Headache is in the web of between your thumb and your pointer finger. It's mm-hmm. in that little pad.
Yes.
It's so hard. It hurts. It doesn't.
It hurts so badly when I go to acupuncture. Woo.
This is one of my least favorite points. The same webbing between your first and second toe, that's liver 3. Mm-hmm. That is a kicker too. The combination of the two different pads, liver 3 and LI4, that one's incredible for moving all chi and blood. Cramps. Thank you. Cramps are, if you do the same thing with the three fingers, the inner bone of your ankle, that medial malleolus, that ankle bone there, if you find 3 finger breaths up and then right behind the shin bone, to be honest, you can press, and right before your cycle, it is so tender. That's one of the number one points for anything gynecological. And it's interesting because 3 different yin meridians cross through spleen 6, that exact point, the liver, the kidney, and the spleen.
Hmm.
And yin meridians are feminine. Yang meridians are masculine. So this is like a very concentrated area of female energy or feminine energy, maybe I should say.
Got it. It's so, so interesting.
Cool.
It's so cool. It's so cool. And what I think is also incredible is that now it's universally covered for healthcare insurance, where it used to not be. And it just goes into how real and how much this works.
Yeah. Yes. The thing with insurance that gets very frustrating sometimes for patients is that you could have out-of-network insurance or in-network insurance. And
right.
So they decide which one they are. I'm an out-of-network provider, but there are insurances that have amazing out-of-network provider insurance so that patients can come see you more than 12 times, because that's not fair to start an amazing program and only see you one time a month, you know?
Of course. And no, and my point was, it was more just the fact that an insurance standpoint, that they're believing in the effects of this, you know?
Yes, I completely agree. It's incredible. It's just so good as an adjunctive therapy for a multitude of things. It's
so wonderful. True. Woo, okay, we got the energy flow, we got the organs, and now I want to go into supplements. So as an acupuncturist and naturopathic doctor, someone comes to you with a disease or anything they're going through, or maybe they just want to enhance their overall health, what are some supplements you recommend, and is it tailored to a disease? Are there supplements everyone should be taking? A lot of acupuncturists would subscribe herbs as well.
Yes. Okay, great question. I do believe in the body, you know, taking over and health via nutrition in the long run. Mm-hmm. When patients first come to me, more often than not, I do put them on supplements until their body starts to rebalance. I would say some of the top things that everybody should be on is something to help you sleep. Even though you have, let's say you have great sleep, you could always have better. You could always have longer REM cycles. You could always just get that much deeper sleep, because sleep is so precious. You can't catch up on it. And getting proper sleep just helps everything from energy, mood, weight, digestion, and muscle recovery in general. And of course, growth hormone occurs during your sleep as well.
Right.
So sleep is something I'm a huge fan of. I am a big proponent to adrenal support, especially practicing on the coast. Like, I mean, in LA, you guys have a little bit more of a grip on a relaxed reality as opposed to East Coast. So maybe not everybody would be on that, but some sort of adrenal support, whether it's an actual adrenal formula or something like an adaptogen, that's really helpful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are my absolute like two things that I love to help people with. Mm-hmm. Magnesium is always amazing because it's used in over 300 different enzymatic reactions in the body. Mm-hmm. And I would say basically every single one of us is magnesium deficient. Mm-hmm. Just because we're using it every day. And our food supply is just not as nutrient rich as it should be, but you have to use the right type of magnesium.
Have you heard of Calm?
Yes.
So I take that before I go to bed, and someone recommended it to me a while ago, and it's helped me sleep a lot. And it's also supposed to help decrease bloating and just kind of make you feel better. Is that good? Something good to take before you go to bed?
Yeah. Magnesium is excellent. You could take it any time of day. The reason that it's helpful for digestion as well as sleep, as well as bloat, and as well as soreness or stiffness is because it's a smooth muscle relaxant. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so let's say when you're having, I keep going back to the period cramps. When you're having cramps, your uterus is a smooth muscle. It needs to relax, right?
Right.
You've worked out really hard. Your muscles need to relax. Your nervous system has all of this vasculature and veins and blood vessels, those are all lined with smooth muscle. So it helps everything relax. And that's why it's great for a multitude of things.
Is it more effective to have the powder form, like what Calm is, versus a pill form? Or does it not matter as long as you're taking your magnesium?
I prefer to have things in a powder form if you have the patience to do it.
It's processed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't taste good, let me tell you. You put, 2 teaspoons in it, mix it in water before I go to bed. It doesn't taste good, but I feel the benefit. So that's all that matters.
Yeah. The reason I like powders and liquids is because your body doesn't have to work as hard to break them down. Yeah.
And for the adrenal support adaptogen, is there something specific that you recommend in terms that we should be taking?
Yeah. So I have almost everybody on either ashwagandha or rhodiola.
Okay.
They're both amazing for a multitude of things. Ashwagandha is like it's called the king of adaptogens. I like to call it the queen of adaptogens, because why would we always have to say king?
So
she's an amazing herb. She is like, ashwagandha is incredible. It can be used to basically regulate your cortisol levels. Mm-hmm. It's also great to take if you're really into fitness, because it helps with energy production as well as lean muscle production post-exercise. And you could also take it any time of the day, morning, noon, or night. That is very rare with supplements, especially with anything helping your cortisol. So that is excellent about ashwagandha. Rhodiola is my personal favorite because it helps with energy and sports performance, but more than anything, it helps with your brain focus and cognition. Mm-hmm. And so I love it because it's kind of like an herbal Adderall, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I get so much done.
Can you be taking both or just one or the other?
Yeah, totally. You can definitely take both. I like to separate them myself because I want to feel the effects and know what's doing what.
Right.
So I personally separate them. Some of my patients don't. They just do it all at once.
Got it. So in terms of cortisol, so if you have a cortisol issue, I know a lot of times people with polycystic ovary syndrome, PCOS, which is where you basically have cysts in your ovaries and it causes all these different side effects like weight gain, hair growth, all of that, if you don't know what it is. And a lot of times you have a cortisol issue there, you have high testosterone. So if you're dealing with any kind of higher cortisol issue, is there anything else that you would help in terms of even exercise?
With PCOS?
PCOS or just a cortisol issue?
Yeah. So this may be a two-part answer.
Yeah, no, bring PCOS. It to me. I'm excited to learn.
So PCOS, I absolutely see all the time.
Mm-hmm. So it's 1 in 10 of every woman in the US.
Really? I would expect it to be more, but also they're the ones coming to me. So, I feel like I see it in like 1 in 5 patients personally.
Wow.
It is really, it affects a lot of areas in your body. So PCOS, it is an imbalance of blood sugar regulation as well as excess androgens, which are like your testosterone, your DHEA, and your DHT. So when you have excess androgens, you get the hair growth on, you know, your body. You get the oil, you get like oily skin, oily hair, the acne, and then you get like a little bit more of aggression, if you will. You also could have thinning hair too. When you have that blood sugar dysregulation from PCOS, that's where the cortisol imbalance comes in because mm-hmm. blood sugar and cortisol are very, very interlinked. Mm-hmm. So when cortisol drops, your blood sugar spikes so that it could bring the cortisol back up. It's like a kind of like a cycle in your body. Mm-hmm. We all have these certain organ systems that work together, and that's a definite pair in our body. So in order to bring, you know, in order to bring patients more in balance, what I like to do is of course work on their cortisol levels when it's PCOS, but first and foremost, you have to get their androgens levels down and balance their blood sugar, because those two things are going to help balance the cortisol before you even address that. There's you know, strategic steps you have to take, and those are the top two. Mm-hmm. And then cortisol will start to rebalance, and then you can actually focus on that.
So by eating just more foods to have less sugar?
Yes, as well as like berberine is excellent. It's kind of like the natural metformin, mm-hmm. but you have to take it at certain times. And really, really educating patients on what has sugar. How does your body break foods down and in what form? What are high glycemic foods? Stuff like that. It's a very nutritionally based wellness protocol.
So interesting. I know you posted a lot about recovery and you said this quote, you said, rest is not the enemy of change. It is part of its fuel. So let's go into muscle recovery as a fitness junkie, especially. What should I be doing?
Okay. Amazing. So yeah, recovery is like my new favorite thing. And it's funny how, especially as like fitness junkies, we push ourselves so hard and we don't give ourselves that like celebratory rest. We're like, oh, but we're going to celebrate by doing another lap, right? Or another set. And that actually does us more harm than good. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the things you can do the best for post-exercise recovery, a lot of them are actually not supplements. So that would be like making sure you foam roll. And the reason for that is getting your lymphatic system to, well, obviously applying that pressure to your fascia is great to break up that fascia. And then what happens when you're doing that is that you're promoting the pumping of your lymphatic system. So when you work out, all of your muscle metabolites, lactic acid, uric acid, all of that goes into your lymphatic system. If you don't flush that out, it just goes right back into your muscles. And that's where you get sore. So you've definitely got to flush that out. You've got to drink water with electrolytes. I highly recommend 100 ounces. I carry around a gallon every day.
Of electrolytes? How do you get those electrolytes?
I have some powders that I really like that I sell. Noon is good if you just want to like run to the bodega and grab some, N-U-U-N. But I like this one by Jigsaw that I work with. And they taste really good. The thing, fun fact about electrolytes is never pour the whole packet in your water bottle at once, because you can only absorb so much at once. You're just going to pee out the rest. So I like to break the packet into like thirds and then just keep drinking electrolytes throughout the day. The other thing, supplement wise, obviously magnesium, but you could do topical, which is great for that, as well as like a glycinate, mag-glycinate. And then turmeric or curcumin. That's excellent. Super, super anti-inflammatory. And then let's say you're having like a really rough day, or like for the last, like your hip, let's say it flares up again. Have you ever heard of castor oil?
Yes.
Yeah, you could apply that onto your, you put that on your hip and then wrap yourself in a towel, because it's very, very messy and viscous and thick, and it stains everything. But then you put a heating pad or a hot compress on there, and that heat drives the anti-inflammatory effects of the castor oil deep into your muscle. It's incredible what castor oil does.
Yeah. Love it. I have to try all these new remedies.
Yeah.
And also going into kind of anti-inflammatory foods, are there other anti-inflammatory foods that you suggest taking? And also follow-up question, are there any that boost your immune system, especially during this time right now? We got to boost our immune system.
Yeah. So to be honest, they're one and the same. I know that's not an answer that people really look for or are excited about, but it's the truth. So anything that is, so take vegetables, right? The more vibrant and colorful they are, the more nutrient rich, and the higher the phytonutrients as well. Phytonutrients are usually detoxifying. They're usually very, very high in antioxidants, and also very high in minerals, vitamins, and other cofactors that you need within your body to work. So the more colors you can eat, the brighter the colors, but not because they're non-organic, but because they're actually bright, vibrant colors from nature, the better. So I really like the dark leafy greens, because those are really good for your liver. Your liver is constantly under pressure to detoxify, not just like alcohol that you would be drinking when people associate with liver and detox, but every food you put in your body. Birth control needs to be metabolized and flushed out of your system. Everything has to go through the liver in order to be excreted. So dark leafy greens are fantastic. And the lighter or whiter the food, the less nutrients. That's another thing that you can just always remember when you're shopping.
That's really interesting. Just when we were talking about the gut, it reminded me to forget you to ask a question. Prebiotics and probiotics, do you recommend them?
Probiotics.
Okay. And what's the difference?
Great question. So prebiotics are the fibrous foods that feed probiotics once they're in the gut. So, or just the bacteria in your gut in general. So you can eat prebiotics very, very, very easily. Probiotics, I do recommend. The one thing is, just like we were talking about at the very beginning, somebody taking a magnesium and saying it doesn't work. There's so many types of probiotics that if you try one and it doesn't work for you, or it makes you feel bloated, it doesn't mean that probiotics don't work. It wasn't the one, or it wasn't a high quality product, or there weren't enough. It wasn't a high enough concentration, or not the right combination. So probiotics are, there's not one type of supplement that people come to see me for more than that, and they have no idea what it does or what's inside it. So probiotics, I definitely recommend, but you've got to figure out which one is right for you.
Yeah, because I was actually taking magnesium supplements and I was taking a probiotic, and the probiotic, I didn't even realize also had magnesium in it. And I realized it was actually, I was taking too much magnesium. So you have to really find that balance, and like what you're saying, work with a practitioner.
Yeah, exactly.
And hit her up because she's amazing. And she does virtually as well if you're not in her area. So cool. I also saw you post a lot about trace elements, which I've never even thought of. And you say how trace elements are protective against the adverse side effects of your radiant exposure. And you talk about balancing your hormones, heavy metal toxicity. So what does that mean? What does all this mean?
There are so many heavy metals and things that we don't even realize, whether it's our water supply or our foods that we eat from the crops and how they actually grow things. And because of that, we could actually have higher levels or higher concentrations of heavy metals within our body that are creating these symptoms that we feel. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because symptoms can be so vague, and you could have diarrhea and anxiety and not be able to have a lot of brain fog. And you think none of those are related, but it could all be due to an excess of a certain heavy metal, or it could be due to an overgrowth of a particular, you know, bacteria in the gut that is related to anxiety or something like that. So just because your symptoms don't make sense to you doesn't mean that they wouldn't make sense to an naturopathic doctor or an acupuncturist that can really connect those dots and mm-hmm. figure out what it is. But just like you were saying with the trace minerals, those can act as binders to actually bind to, you know, whether it's like a cadmium or a lead or, you know, a mercury, and help flush those out of your system, which is why mm-hmm. hydration is so important, so that your kidneys can have enough fluids to actually flush everything out, as well as in your feces, same thing. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything we should stay away from in our environment that affects our hormones and is going to give us radiant exposure or toxicity?
Non-organic meats. They are fed hormones from the day they are born, these, you know, cows or what have you. And it's just, there is just absolutely nothing good about it. Mm-hmm. Not like that, but they're raised to be slaughtered. It's just the energy exchange. It just, you know, it just makes me mm-hmm. shudder. Mm-hmm. Really think about it. I'm also from Kansas, so I've seen these slaughter yards and I've driven by them and it breaks my heart. I'm not preaching veganism or anything, but just know where your stuff is from.
Right.
So you choose organic or free range or just something, just mm-hmm. don't do the processed. It just, it's a terrible cycle. Not mm-hmm. only that, but the amount of water that it takes, like the carbon footprint's just out of control.
Right.
For the industry. The other one I would say is GMO soy. That's another one that's really bad for estrogen. Mm-hmm. So you want to be careful with that. Try and make sure that you have non-GMO soy products if mm-hmm. you use them. Also know that any of your, like, those fake meats that you eat, those are chock full of that stuff. So really be cautious of what you're eating.
Everyone says soy is bad, especially for females. Why is it so bad?
It's not necessarily bad. It's the amounts that you eat it in and mm-hmm. where it's sourced from.
Got it.
It acts as a phytoestrogen, meaning it can increase your estrogen levels. Actually bind to like estrogen receptors.
Got it. And then you're also talking about organic foods. Should we only be buying organic, or is it just depends on the specific food that we're buying?
I mean, I try to only buy organic, but that can really break the bank. Especially coming out of COVID, what I recommend is if you can look up on the Environmental Working Group, it's EWG.org. Mm-hmm. They have a clean 15 and a dirty dozen list. But they have a list that they update either quarterly or annually. And mm-hmm. it's the top. So Dirty Dozen is the top 12 most heavily pesticide laden foods.
Ooh, I'm going to look that up.
Fun fact, strawberries and spinach are always at the top.
Mm.
Those two have got to be organic when you buy them.
Okay. Good to know.
The clean 15 I love because it gives you options like, oh shoot, I don't have to go to the organic section of this.
Right.
Save a dollar. It's fine.
Cool.
Those are the clean 15. I love those.
An awesome tip. Also, when we're talking about the environment, I also wanted to ask you about vitamin D. Should everyone be taking a vitamin D supplement?
I mean, it's really smart too, but you don't need it. If you spend enough time outside mm-hmm. and have sunshine, then you should be fine. Mm-hmm. Or at least you shouldn't have to rely on one every day. My practice in the city, I highly recommend it
because
we're in these tiny, tiny apartments and you're working like 14 hours a day because we're crazy and you don't see the sun for, you know, 4 or 5 months out of the mm-hmm, year. Mm-hmm. So I highly recommend my patients to always stock up on like 2 to 3 vitamin D right when we're going into fall season. Mm-hmm. They have that on hand so they can avoid that seasonal affective disorder. They can boost their immunity and also stabilize their mood a bit. Hmm. So yeah, highly recommend it, but not for everywhere. Like if you live right. in Costa Rica, you don't need that.
Right. Yes. Got it. In terms of going back into balancing your hormones and aligning yourself with the right circadian rhythms and how it's a really powerful tool for lifestyle changes, what does that mean? Because I know that you talk a lot about circadian rhythms.
Circadian rhythm is basically your 24-hour day. The reason I like for people to align with their circadian rhythm is because humans are creatures of habit. Mm-hmm. And our biorhythms are dependent upon some sort of habitual time frame. And so if we wake up within the same like 90 minutes every day and we fall asleep within the same 90 minutes every day, that's going to allow our digestion to flow better. That's going to help our mood be balanced. That's going to help our energy peak when it's supposed to and slowly go down as it's supposed to.
Right.
And if you do a salivary cortisol test, that's what happens it's called a diurnal rhythm or like a diurnal hormone or like circadian. It rises first thing in the morning to get you out of bed and it slowly goes down. So why not just not fight against the grain and actually go with what your body's supposed to be doing?
Okay. I just wanted to ask you about that because I was, at first I didn't know if I understood it, but just as long as you are in tune, just kind of sticking to your same routine and schedule to make sure your body's in alignment.
Yeah. There's so many people that say go to bed at 9 o'clock every night. That puts pressure on you.
Right. Right.
Like, don't be pressured to sleep. Sleep when you're tired, but like keep it in a certain time frame. I like to keep things manageable and doable. Otherwise I'm going to scare people off.
So true. You talk a lot about walking barefoot and grounding with the earth and the electron exchange with the surface of our planet. And I've never thought about that in my life.
It's incredible. So I did it yesterday. I walked out on the boulder and I took my shoes off and you just like stand there and it feels so good. Like, you know, when you're at the beach and you have your shoes off and everything mm-hmm. feels good, or you're at the park and you're doing like cartwheels.
Right.
And you're like at a picnic, but you have no shoes on and it just has this like grounding, amazing energy feeling where it just connects you with nature. What's actually happening is there's an electron transfer between your body and the energy of the ground and what that has to offer. And those two together just create this powerful, calming, parasympathetic situation that just kind of brings your cortisol levels down and calms down your sympathetic nervous system at the same time. That's why I haven't gone back to the city yet, because I'm just like, well, heck, I'm surrounded by grass and boulders. Why would I leave?
Yeah. The simple tools, little life biohacks that you can do throughout your daily life.
Yeah. Yeah. You will not regret taking your shoes off and standing in the grass for a minute. It
brings your childhood back to
a kid.
I love it. I love it. Dr. Lena, I can talk to you for hours. Love picking your brain. I have one more question for you. At Fit Food Junkies, our motto is addicted to health. So what are you addicted to?
Oh my gosh, naps. I would really say naps, honestly.
Is there something else that you're addicted to in your practice?
I would have to say when my patients leave my office, I think that's the best part of my day, not because they're leaving, but because their face, their demeanor, their eyes, everything is calmer and more relaxed. People leave with answers. They leave with more balance. They leave with a plan and they leave with gratitude. And I think that's just the biggest thing, is imparting that sense of calm and security on other people that we don't normally get on a day-to-day basis.
Love the addiction. Seeing how you helped your patients immensely in life.
Yeah, just seeing that human like vulnerability and appreciation, I would say.
What you do is amazing. You said we have been given a gift, the gift to slow down and look inside ourselves, to see what no longer serves us and what we must let go of to be the best version of ourselves we have always wanted to be. And that says it right there with your addiction and what you love to do. So I thank you for your passion and for your time today and truly telling me all the ins and outs of what you do. And I'm excited to also work with you in the future. And if anyone wants to work with you, how can they find you?
It's drlanawellness.com. So drlanawellness.com. And then Instagram is at drlanawellness, spelled the same. So drlanawellness.
And you definitely want to check her out. She posts so many things about what we were talking about today. And she is a naturopathic doctor and acupuncturist. And that's rare to find. So hit her up and you will not regret working with her.
Thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for your time. It has been a true privilege. I feel like, you know, when you go through acupuncture and you feel this, like this new way of life leaving, that's how I feel right now. I just feel all aligned.
So happy. Thank you.
I loved this episode so much because I felt like I learned a plethora of information, especially in a specialty that I am so interested in myself. I've always learned that Western medicine focuses on treatment versus that Chinese medicine focuses on prevention. They say that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If you have never tried acupuncture, I cannot recommend it enough. It has given me so many benefits. It has healed me in so many ways, more than you can imagine. Make sure you reach out to Dr. Lena at Dr. Lena Wellness on Instagram or check her out on her website to get some more information and start working with her. She is truly amazing, inspirational, and really creates an impact on all of her patients. We want to hear how you will utilize this interview to enhance your optimal wellness. Let me know on Instagram at FitFoodJunkies or at Dr. Lena's Instagram at Dr. Lena Wellness. If you have not already subscribed, please subscribe below. It would mean so much to me. I am so excited that you guys are joining the Fit Food Junkies journey with me.